How would you like a 15% discount to my daily email, the stack of stuff, the show notes, discounts to the conference, all of that? All you need to do is text the word show to 33777. You'll get the annual subscription with a 15% discount to my daily email. You'll get the stack of stuff, the links to the show notes, discounts to the conference, and so much more. All you have to do is text the word show, S-H-O-W, to 33777. Text show to 33777.
Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show podcast, Hour 1.
My fellow Americans, welcome across the nation. It's the Eric Erickson Show. I sure am glad to be with you. The phone number, 877-973-7425, if you want to be on the program. Yesterday, there was nonstop salaciousness on television. Stormy Daniels! That's right, Stormy Daniels testified against Donald Trump. Well, things didn't go as the Democrats wanted. When you go to law school, as I have, when you practice law, as I have, one of the things you learn is never ask a witness a question you don't already know the answer to. So I know most of you listening, you didn't go to law school. You're not lawyers. Let me just explain this real quick. When you file a lawsuit, you go through a process that's called discovery. Now, I'm talking civil, but the same largely applies in criminal in that the prosecutors have to hand the defendants everything, and the defendants don't have to hand the prosecution really anything because the defendant gets every benefit of the doubt. But in the process of discovery, you get to ask questions. You get to do depositions. You get to probe what the person's going to say. You get to do that in a criminal trial as well. In a criminal trial, the defendants get to figure out what are the prosecution's witnesses going to say. So you go in and you're asking questions, and you already know the answer. It's a little different from a civil trial to a criminal trial, but you're going to know what the evidence is, how it's going to be framed, what the witnesses are going to say, and both sides are trying to tell a jury the story. And whosever story sounds the most truthful is probably going to be the person to win. You don't go in blind with a witness. But there's a corollary here in politics, too. In politics, you never attempt to put a candidate in a situation that you lose control of the situation. You always want to control the situation with the candidate. The Democrats put Donald Trump, the candidate, in a situation the Democrats lost control of. The Democrats decided to engage Trump on all fronts, including the legal front, to try to stop him from winning re-election, and they have lost control. In Georgia, Donald Trump's appeal on tossing Fannie Willis has been accepted by the Georgia Court of Appeals. They're going to hear the case. That puts a stop to Fannie Willis's trial probably for most all of this year. In Florida, the judge down there in the classified documents case has indefinitely paused the case. In Washington, Jack Smith's January 6th case against Trump, the Supreme Court hasn't rendered the decision on Donald Trump's immunity appeal, which, if so, is probably going to get passed back to the Court of Appeals or the District Court to be reheard on various ways and make its way to an appeal again. The Democrats have lost control of the thing, and they're screaming about it. And here's a key point here you need to understand. If you notice Democratic rhetoric, the system is only legitimate if the system benefits them. Notice you're not hearing any complaints about the illegitimacy of the United States Senate right now because it benefits the Democrats. But if the Republicans get control of it, you're going to hear the Democrats again complain that the Senate is anti-democratic, that how is it fair that the state of North Dakota has the same number of senators as California? Look at the population. The system works to the Democrats' benefit. The system is legitimate. The moment it stops working to their benefit, it's illegitimate. Look at the Supreme Court and the case with Donald Trump and immunity. community. They're doing everything the Democrats asked them to do, but not fast enough, so suddenly they're illegitimate. Judge Cannon in Florida is giving the defense the benefit of the doubt every step of the way, which is what she's supposed to do, and that has made the system illegitimate. That's made the judge corrupt. In Georgia, Fani Willis screwed up everything. The Democrats have given her a pass, and now the Court of Appeals has decided to hear Donald Trump's appeal on whether or not the judge was right to keep her on the case. And suddenly the Court of Appeals in Georgia is stacked with a bunch of Republican hacks, and therefore the system is illegitimate. The system only works and is legitimate when it works for the left. That's what they do. They tear down any institution that isn't legitimate. Now, by the way, there's a corollary here. There's a growing number of people on the right who insist we are post-constitutional. The Constitution doesn't work. The Constitution doesn't apply. We should let the system burn. This is the Constitution working. These are the constitutional guarantees for defendants working. This is the constitutional processes working. They've lost control of it. And yesterday, in a New York courtroom, they lost control of Stormy Daniels, their star witness besides Michael Cohen. It didn't go well. You want to know how badly it went? Listen to Eli Honig on CNN.
My impression was she was plausible on her explanation of what happened in that hotel room. It's hard for me to believe that a juror heard that and thought this is entirely made up. There may well be some embellishments with Arthur, I think, pointed out effectively in the last hour. But I think it's quite clear they had sex in 2006 in that hotel room. But the cross-exam, boy, her responses were disastrous. I mean, do you hate Donald Trump? Yes, of course she does. That's a big deal. When the witness hates the person whose liberty is at stake, that's a big damn deal. And she's putting out tweets, fantasizing about him being in jail. That really undermines the credibility. The fact that she owes him $500,000. She, by order of a court, owes Donald Trump $500,000 and said, I will never pay him. I will defy a court order. The defense is going to say she's willing to defy a court order. Why? She's not willing to respect an order of a judge. Why is she going to respect this oath she took? So I thought it went quite poorly on cross-exam. At the end of direct, I thought, okay, they got what they needed. But I think the cross is making real inroads.
Can I?
But wait, it's not just him. This is Paula Reed, also on CNN.
The fact that she has said she will never pay him hundreds of thousands of dollars that she owes him. They've effectively undercut her credibility by getting her to talk about conversations she had, then impeaching her with her own book. I mean, this has been devastating for Stormy Daniels' credibility. Now, big picture, what does that mean for the case as a whole?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not much, because she doesn't have any direct evidence of the falsifying business records. What she could explain today is what exactly Trump was trying to hide between the Access Hollywood tape and Election Day in 2016. This illicit sexual encounter with a porn star back, you know, over a decade prior. She was able to explain to the jury that and how she got paid. But I think what we should really take away from today is this is a preview of what Michael Cohen can look forward to. This kind of sort of devastating, eviscerating cross.
Yes. And Michael Cohen is now paid to hate Donald Trump. He fundraises off of his Trump hatred. They can't, once you get into a courtroom with a judge you can't control and a jury you can't control and witnesses you can't control, the Democrats have lost control of this. They've lost control of the case in Georgia. They've lost control of the case in Florida. These were all designed to get Donald Trump, and they insisted that these cases would move ahead on their timeline and their schedule to benefit them, and they were stupid for believing that because that's not the way any of this works. And they just assumed that because they are in charge, they could get their way. The Constitution is working. The legal system is working, and it's not working to the Democrats' favor, so look for them to delegitimize it as well. They're having a very, very bad time. And everybody's missing one thing. The prosecution is focused on the salacious details. They focused on dragging Donald Trump. I think that's actually the point of the case, is they're hoping that the public won't be able to stomach Donald Trump again if they show what a creepy person he is. Except people already saw the Access Hollywood tape, and only the most diehard Trump supporters have denied he was cheating on his wife with a porn star. Most people accept that it was true. And they still voted for him. Do you really think rubbing people's nose in it now is going to change things? But here, this is the thing. The prosecution has dragged all of this stuff out, all the salaciousness. They've had Stormy Daniels on, whose credibility she undermined herself on cross-examination. And everybody's missed one thing. They've got to show an intent to commit the underlying campaign finance violation. They've got to show an intent to commit the crime. They haven't done that. They've tried to hint about it. They've tried to tie it to campaign season. The judge is denying a expert witness for Donald Trump, but he's going to eventually either it's going to get tossed on appeal or they're going to have to let him have somebody in the case make the point that the rule for campaign finance is the transaction would not have occurred but for the campaign. But I guarantee you what we're going to see is a conversation about Donald Trump's prenuptial agreement with Melania Trump. We're going to see that. That's going to come out. And there is the reasonable doubt. Is this really to cover up a campaign finance violation, or is this to stop a very expensive divorce from happening? That's enough doubt. Stormy Daniels' intent is enough doubt. Michael Cohen's credibility is going to be on the stand as well. And Michael Cohen's not as smart as he thinks he is. The Democrats decided to engage in lawfare to stop Donald Trump. Through any means possible, they were going to stop Donald Trump, and they've lost control of all of it. And we haven't even gotten to the jury yet. One member of this jury could hang the jury. One member. It was always dumb for the Democrats to do this. They could have mounted an effective case against Donald Trump. They could have, but you know what's happened now in the CBS poll? The CNN poll, the Fox News poll, the ABC poll, the NBC poll, you name it, the Marist poll, the Emerson poll, more people now believe Donald Trump's term in office was a success. In fact, in most, not all, but in most of the polls, a majority of voting Americans believe Donald Trump's tenure in office was a success. That is a vast departure from what they thought at the time, and that's all because they're judging it in comparison to Joe Biden's time in office. And the Democrats haven't tried to counter that message. The Democrats haven't tried to change that message. The Democrats have tried to throw Donald Trump in jail to beat him. A majority of Americans believe that the Democrats are engaged in lawfare to stop Donald Trump. Even as a plurality of Americans are convinced he did something wrong, a majority of Americans, including those people, are convinced this is all to stop Donald Trump because they can't beat him at the ballot box, and it's not going the way the Democrats in their head thought it would because they're in a bubble. They're in the I hate Donald Trump so much everybody else must as well bubble. And there are a lot of people who do hate Donald Trump, but they're going to vote for him because they hate Joe Biden more. I've said more than once. In fact, I've been on radio now for 12 years, and I've said this several times every year that I've been on radio. When I ran campaigns for a living, I would always tell the candidates who wanted to stake out a firm position on something, know when you're in the minority, even when you think you're right. You've got to have that level of awareness to understand most people might disagree with you on something. So how you proceed and how you conduct yourself when you advance an issue most people are going to disagree with you on matters. The Democrats have deluded themselves into thinking they're the majority on this. They think they're in the majority. They're not. They hate Trump so much they can't conceive of anyone else voting for him. And as these cases begin to implode around them, it takes a significant strategy of theirs off the table. They never thought they would have to advocate for Joe Biden's pitiful record. They just thought they could throw Donald Trump in jail, and he's probably not going. Y'all, I might have just gotten myself in trouble, but I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. Callaway Golf wants to you to give your mom super soft golf balls for Mother's Day. Pretty sure someone already did something like that, which is what caused this whole holiday. Someone didn't think through what was going to happen by putting up an ad to give your mom. I got to move on or I'm going to get myself in trouble. Wow. I had a spectacular day today, and I want to share this with you. Because in all of my years of driving, today was the greatest day ever of my driving career. Y'all know how I hate people going slow in the left lane. If my buddy Doug Turnbull is listening right now. So I get on the on-ramp to get on the interstate to work today, and there's this dark gray Ford Explorer behind me. And at first I thought, it looks like one of the police ones, except it didn't have any markings on it at all. So I get down on the interstate, and my goal, particularly with this on-ramp, it's so long, is to be up to speed. And in 70-mile-an-hour speed limit in Georgia, you can go 79, and you're fine. Well, there's a little Honda CRV at the end going very slow. It's an old lady. She's not even doing 30 when she hits the interstate. So I move on around her and come, and that Ford SUV clearly wants to go even faster than me. So I put my blinker on and get back in the right lane so he can shoot past me, and he does. And we get up the hill, and there's an 18-wheeler in the right lane in front of me, and there's a line of four cars in the left lane. The rear car is this white Mercedes, expensive Mercedes. Well, I'm moving, and that left lane is moving slow, and I get up there. Well, the three cars in front of the Mercedes are moving enough speed that they're passing the 18-wheeler, and now there's a gap. The Mercedes won't speed up, and now there's enough of a gap that I can pass the Mercedes and then move into the left lane to get around that 18-wheeler. And meanwhile, the dark gray SUV is behind the Mercedes, and I'm kind of up with him. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go on, I'm going to pass, and then he can follow me around. Well, that Mercedes speeds up to block my path and then slows down so that not only can he not pass the 18-wheeler, but I can't pass the 18-wheeler either. And that SUV lit up like a Christmas light. It was police. Now they tried to pull him over and he refused to be pulled over. And as I kept being able to move forward past him, every police officer in the neighborhood was coming to pull that guy over. Deserved it. Now, I got to tell you about Vision Computer. Vision Computers wants to be your computer company. They want to build computers for you. They want to service computers for you. If you have questions, they've got answers. 404-COMPUTE's their number. 15 seconds or less, you call Vision Computers, you can get the answer to what's going on with your computer. 15 seconds or less, faster than Google search. They've got thousands of five-star reviews. All you do is go to visioncomputers.com or 404-COMPUTE for $179 per computer a year. A year, not a month. Vision can be your tech support if you did not buy a computer from Vision. If you did buy a computer from Vision, that comes with a computer. So you buy a computer from Vision. By the way, they're going to save you money and they're going to get you what you actually want as opposed to the one-size-fits-all at the big box store. You get the tech support. Otherwise, you can pay them for it, and it's fantastic. 404-COMPUTE. Call them and tell them Eric sent you. You're going to get an even better deal. Any one of you nationwide, 404-COMPUTE or visioncomputers.com. Let's review, shall we, how bad things are for, well, those who engage in lawfare against Trump. By the way, the phone number, 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the show, you can also text ENGAGE to 33777. You can get tickets to the gathering in August. We yesterday formally invited Governor DeSantis of Florida. We have invited the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. We know Brian Kemp is going to be there for sure. We know that Doug Ducey, the former governor of Arizona, is going to be there for sure. We've also invited former Vice President Pence and others waiting to get confirmations. It's going to be a great conference. It'll be Atlanta, August 8th through the 11th. You can text the word ENGAGE to 33777 and come hang out with us at the conference. Now, get to your phone calls here in a minute, but I want to bring you up to speed on everything that's happened today. Keep in mind, again, the Democrats laid out an aggressive path towards prosecuting Donald Trump. They filed a federal lawsuit against him in Washington, D.C. about the election. They filed a federal lawsuit against him in Florida, the Southern District of Florida, about classified documents. They filed a RICO case against him in Fulton County, Georgia. And they filed this state case in New York alleging violation of a federal crime. The Alvin Bragg case in New York has always been the weakest case, and it is falling apart before our eyes this week. The case in Georgia was always more substantive, but Fani Willis has undermined her own credibility. The case in the District of Columbia seems more like a January 6th vendetta, and the case in Florida is actually substantively credible. A grand jury requested Donald Trump hand over classified documents. Donald Trump said he had no classified documents. The FBI raided Mar-a-Lago and found a bunch of classified documents. Therefore, credible case. You can argue that, well, as president, he can unilaterally unclassify documents, but that's not actually the way it works. But that case is now permanent, or well, I shouldn't say permanently, but temporarily on pause. Indefinitely on pause is the word I'm looking for. The judge in Florida, Judge Cannon, has decided that the prosecutor needs to clarify a lot of information, and the defense and prosecution have to come to an agreement on what documents can be shown to the jury. Now, this is something there's a lot of, and you can tell, for example, let's take the New York case for a minute. A lot of what the left is saying about the case in New York is simply not true. They're arguing, for example, that they don't actually have to show an underlying federal crime, despite what the statute says. And they're saying he doesn't have to show a federal campaign finance violation, which they actually do need to show in order to make the case legitimate. But they're trying to distract you from the fact how weak the case is. But the same holds true with the right in the Florida case, where there's a lot of lies about the procedural standing and whatnot. For example, claiming that Jack Smith's prosecutors mishandled classified documents. Well, yes and no. They did mishandle documents. They did some things they shouldn't have done. They were trying to do legitimate things and they screwed it up, which is far different from Donald Trump taking a bunch of documents to Florida and saying, by God, they're unclassified, even though he didn't follow the paperwork. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors by the right on the case in Florida because it's the strongest case against Trump. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors in New York by the left because it's the weakest case against New York against Trump, and it's ongoing right now. Let's just deal with the situation in Florida. Jack Smith and the defense, and this shows you why this is a weak case for Donald Trump and a strong case for Jack Smith, they need to show the jury documents. Donald Trump's team wants to show the jury all of the documents. Jack Smith's team says some of these documents are so sensitive, we can't enter them into the court record. And that's what they're arguing over, essentially. And that should give you pause in the defense of the guttural defense of what Trump did, that the prosecutor is saying that here's all these documents we think that the jury can see, but some of these are so sensitive, we don't think they should be made public. And both sides are having to argue over it. And now the Trump team has conceded there are some documents that if you presume they're still classified, they shouldn't be shown public. They're not conceding that they're classified, but they're saying if for sake of argument they are, then correct, these should not be revealed. And because they're arguing over that and a whole bunch of other stuff, the judge has basically put the case on pause and said, you guys got to sort this stuff out. We're going to sort all of this stuff out. Also, Jack Smith has made the judge very angry in several cases because Smith has had a very heavy hand in this. The judge is ultimately in charge of the courtroom. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. When you enter a courtroom, that courtroom is assigned to the judge, not the prosecutor. It is the judge's courtroom. And you might as well treat yourself as if you are before the throne of God Almighty himself, because you are before the infallible judge, who is only fallible when a higher court says so. But in the courtroom, until otherwise noted by a higher court, the judge is infallible. And Jack Smith has not been very deferential to the judge and has clearly aggravated the judge. You don't want to get on the judge's bad side. Donald Trump in New York has gotten on the judge's bad side. Jack Smith's done the same in Florida. And that judge is showing him no mercy, and she's indefinitely suspending the case while they sort out all the arguments. Then there's the Georgia case. It's breaking news from about 45 minutes ago. The Georgia Court of Appeals has decided they will hear Donald Trump's appeal of his case on whether or not Fani Willis should be disqualified. That's a pretty big deal. I personally think the judge got it wrong, but I think there are underlying issues there with the judge as well. He did not want to scuttle the whole case because he does find that there might be merit in parts of the case. So he left the prosecutor who advanced the case on the case. I don't think he should have, quite frankly. I really don't think he should have, but he did. Donald Trump gets to appeal before trial because his argument is based on who is prosecuting him. So that gets to happen before the trial. So with the Georgia Court of Appeals saying they will take the case, that's going to drag this case out. Because first of all, you're going to have to appeal this. And then once that's settled, then there are going to be a series of other decisions that have to be made about the trial. Then you got to have those, some of those appealed. Some of them can't be appealed. Some of them will. Then once all those are issued, then you got to go to trial and you got to pick the jury. There are a whole lot of defendants. Each of those defendants gets to strike jurors. It's going to take a very long time to do that. We had a big RICO case in Fulton County, Georgia, earlier this year, and it took months and months to pick the jury. It like 6 months to pick the jury. So you're going to have to do that. It's going to take a while to pick the jury. So that case is off the table. Then there's the case in the District of Columbia, which is the January 6th case that Jack Smith is pursuing. And that case, the Supreme Court is not giving special deference to this case. They're treating Donald Trump as if he's a regular civil defendant. And the left is beside themselves that the Supreme Court is not treating Donald Trump as if he's some sort of special, serious defendant. No, he's just an ordinary American citizen at this point. The left's plans are scrapped. And now, hilariously, they're angry the left is at the New York Times. So Ben Smith at Semaphore, who used to be the media critic for the New York Times, did an interview with the executive editor of the New York Times. Now, I don't know if you know this or not. The New York Times is a left-wing publication. The New York Times is a publication that would not or apologize for and retracted an op-ed by a sitting United States Senator from Arkansas, Tom Cotton, because he said that the president should call out the National Guard to quell the George Floyd riot protests, a position held by a majority of Americans. But readers of the New York Times and employees there melted down over his statement of a majority opinion in this country. The New York Times is a left-wing publication, but the left is furious with the New York Times. Why? Because the editor of the New York Times had the audacity to say, it's not the New York Times' job to protect democracy. That's right. The left is beside themselves in rage. And that's not really what he said. Essentially, the question was from Ben Smith, the left says that you need to take Biden's side in order to protect democracy. And the executive editor of the New York Times said, our job is to cover the candidates thoroughly and fairly and let their positions and our reporting speak for itself. And that ensures democracy. But no, 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 no. See, the New York Times, let's just be honest here. If the New York Times issues an endorsement, they're going to endorse Joe Biden. They're not going to endorse a Robert Kennedy or Donald Trump. They're going to endorse Biden if they endorse at all. But they don't want to be explicit about it. They don't want to plant their flag and say, we're Team Joe Biden, and all of our coverage is going to skew to Joe Biden. That's what's going to happen anyway. But to the left, it's not enough of a skew to Joe Biden. So they've lost the New York Times. They've lost Judge Cannon in Florida. They've lost the Court of Appeals in Georgia. They're losing public opinion in New York. They've lost everything thus far in the District of Columbia. Nothing is going the way the left planned because they didn't plan on beating Donald Trump at the ballot box. They planned on throwing him in jail. It's just not happening. It might happen. Donald Trump might talk himself into prison if he's not careful. He's making the judge in New York so mad. But the way the left strategized this was never a frontal assault on Donald Trump's record as president, and we're going to make the case for reelecting Joe Biden. It was always throw him in jail. And it's not working out for the Democrats that way. Now to the phones we go. Cheryl, you're going to be the first caller today. Welcome. How are you?
Good. I think about the Democrats or the left strategy of make an accusation or following the rules for radicals in order to accomplish their goals, whether it be bumping a candidate, winning an election, or influencing a voting pool. I think about the accusations. You had the Virginia candidate, McDonnell, I think was his name. He was accused of getting a gold watch from a donor. Several appeals later, he wins. Turns out it wasn't true. Harry Reid makes an accusation about Romney on the Senate floor. Mm-hmm. That he didn't pay his taxes. He admits on 60 Minutes it was a lie and says, well, it didn't get him elected, did it? Now they have the Trump trials and filings. In terms of influencing the voting pool, you have the rules for radicals where you're overwhelming the border, you're doing these college campus protests
right.
in order to influence the voting pool. How effective would it be for the Republicans to display this strategy and mock it? Showing up every day with the big visual aid that says, well, here's where the Democrats are. Here's where the left is.
You know,
we know the next step is this.
I actually think they're headed in that direction. So you mentioned, for example, the Bob McDonald case in Virginia and the Harry Reid. Both of those were really pre-social media. Social media was around, but not Americans were not as attuned to it as they are now. They were still attuned to ABC, CBS, and NBC and what you saw in the nightly news. They're not as much anymore. And that's something I think the left doesn't appreciate. It's one reason they hate Twitter so much now is the right has been very effective at highlighting this sort of stuff in ways they haven't in the past. And it really took off in 2020 and has picked up steam to this point where you have so many members of the media complaining about disinformation and misinformation on social media, not because they hate it. It's because they don't have the monopoly on it anymore. And the entirety of the public now is more and more attuned to just how the Democrats are trying to break the system and how they scream about delegitimizing the system if the system doesn't work for them. And it's far less effective. And if you don't believe me, look at the number of Americans who are showing up to now counter-protest the protesters. Look at the fraternity boys who are showing up to hold up the American flag. Look at the backlash to the protesters, so much so even Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden are now having to come out and condemn them. There is a black backlash that has shaped up against the left on all of these things. And the Democrats just aren't effective. And by the way, to your point, I would also note that some donor somewhere paid for a massive projector at the protest at UCLA to highlight the footage of what happened on October 7th. So the kids who were protesting were forced to watch Hamas's atrocities. That was money well spent. Well, you want to spend your money and the government and credit companies, credit card companies are trying to push you to use plastic instead of cash so they could spy on your purchases and control your purchases. It is a secret war on cash. Swiss America wants to educate you about it with a report that is completely for free. They also want to help you protect your hard-earned assets now. You can get their report, The Secret War on Cash. Your copy's free by calling or texting 800-289-2646. 800-289-2646. The All-Out War on Cash includes digital forms of currency. It's spreading daily. You can read The Secret War on Cash report. It is completely free to you guys. All you have to do is mention my name, Eric Erickson. When you call or text 800-289-2646, that's 800-289-2646. You can also go to SwissAmerica.com/Eric, E-R-I-C-K. Message and data rates may apply if you call or text, but just text my name, Eric Erickson, 800-289-2646, and get the report, The Secret War on Cash, completely for free.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This hour of the program is brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. Wherever your business is located nationwide, if you're buying a building or building a building or buying a franchise or a business competitor, deals like that, First Liberty can help you. FirstLibertyGA.com. FirstLibertyGA.com. Tell them I sent you. A pro-Palestinian protester at Princeton holding a megaphone saying she is, quote, literally shaking because she is immunocompromised and starving because the university refuses to feed her while she is engaged in her protest. Really, she could use 10 bucks and walk across the street and get some food, but she expects the university to cover her cost. This is nonsensical stuff that we're seeing from these protesters, and the backlash is brewing against it, which is good. The frat boys are coming out. It really is remarkable to see the nonsense and the unseriousness of these protesters, but also the nastiness of them, how much they hate this country. And not all of them are immigrants. I saw yesterday this one white girl who looked like Jabba the Hutt and this other white girl who looked like she had auditioned for the Joker and had green hair and pink hair. And just, I'm like these kids are like social malcontents. That's the problem. They're social malcontents and they can't get dates. And that's why they're protesting. They're bitter, angry feminists in comfortable shoes. We're seeing these people. Get your children adjusted to society, please. At some point, there's a failure of the parents here. And, of course, you know, some of the parents are cheering them on. Wall Street Journal had that story yesterday of some parents are they're just so upset that the university does not have the back of their children who are protesting the Israeli invasion of Gaza. And they should be just ashamed of themselves. And, of course, you see the pictures of the parents and you're like, oh, yeah, you got a maladjusted kid. It's a good thing you weren't a Second Amendment advocate or we know what would happen at your kid's school with your kid. I mean, these people have failed as parents. And now their children are failing at life. They have set their children up for failure and hostility and hatred of their country and everyone else unless they stand on the side of the terrorists who would kill them. They've lost their minds. Some of these parents, I really do think they recognize they failed as parents. And they're just trying to humor their children now, trying to make their children not realize how screwed up the kids are because the parents screwed them up. And there's a level of guilt among some of these parents who are now humoring them. Too late now. Little Susie's going to come home and live in your basement and take up all the room on your couch because you didn't teach her health, nutrition, or how to be a human being in society that could relate to other people. And you're going to have to deal with her. And you're going to have to deal with little Joshua, too, who's coming home to smoke weed and play video games because you didn't think you needed to raise a good, virtuous, moral kid. You just wanted to throw him out there, let the wolves of the universities raise him. And the chickens are coming home to roost on your couch in your basement, failing parents. When we come back, we're going to move on to the Nepo babies of NBC and the Lucky Sperm Club. It really is remarkable to see what's happening over there.